This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and today we start with towers in the sky. For decades, Back Bay's Newbury Street ended with a chain link fence looking out at a void over the Mass Pike. And this summer, that void will be replaced by a brand new shopping plaza that will eventually fill in with a tea shop, a Rivian electric car dealership, and ultimately LEGO's North American headquarters. Those who celebrate it see it as a triumph in the battle against the harms of mid-century urban renewal. And other neighborhoods wonder if it's a model to help solve some of their own problems caused by highway blight. So is it? Or was its complexity and cost a one-off? We are going to dive deep on a project in the sky, if you will, and we have several guests to help us do that. Ted Landsmark is director of the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy at Northeastern University. Catherine Carlock is real estate and development reporter for the Boston Globe. And Jeff Speck is a partner at the city planning firm Speck Dempsey. Ted Landsmark, welcome to Studio 2.
Welcome. It's nice to be here.
Great to have you. Jeff Speck, welcome back here.
Tiziana, great to see you again.
Great to see you. And Catherine Carlock, hey there, let's do this again.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.
So I want to set this up for listeners. We're going to do this in two stages. First, we're going to talk about what this project is. And Catherine, you're probably going to be really active in that part of the conversation. But then I want to go back and I want to situate this in Boston history, in sort of what we know about development and urban renewal, and then look at what it means for other potential projects in the city. And we'll do that a little later in the conversation. So for everybody to know sort of how to set this up. So Catherine, just briefly, what will be there this summer?
This summer, there will be, there are two buildings there now. What will open will be a retail plaza. There is an office and lab building with the headquarters of Car Gurus and LEGO's North American headquarters, as well as a Citizen M hotel. So Dutch brand, those are the two buildings on either side of a retail plaza, but also this plaza built above the pike that looks out west towards the sunset with coffee. You mentioned the electric vehicle company, a tea house, a Greek restaurant, but also just a landscaped plaza to make it something that, you know, a park in the sky, basically.
So to that park in the sky, our producer, Rob Lane, spoke with Abe Memzin, who's principal at Developer Samuels & Associates, who talked about sort of the beauty piece of it that he's going for.
Something that's maybe lesser known, but was brought to our attention by the community, is that the sunsets to the west are some of the only western views you get in the city because of the nature of the alignment of the Mass Pike. So there are some incredibly beautiful evening skies as you look towards the west from our park on our second floor.
Jeff Speck, is it everything you would want sort of to see in a development over a highway like this? All the component pieces are there?
So you should never ask me if it's everything that I want.
Yeah, okay, let me rephrase.
It's
are
fantastic.
All the core component pieces
yes,
there?
It's fantastic. I think it's an excellent project, and it really heals a wound in the city that needed healing.
So this heals a wound. I want everyone to hear it, and then I'm gonna set it here on the table because it's a piece we're going to dive deep into, and I want to give it its own attention. Ted Landsmark, is there something else in the city that you would point to and say, this is like that? Or is this something brand new for us?
I think in a lot of respects, it's something brand new because it closes off what has become something of a highway on Newbury Street and really turns an intense shopping area into much more of a plaza. It caps the end of Newbury Street in a way that makes that end much more attractive as a place for people to stroll and to enjoy themselves.
So I'm almost picturing like an old Pac-Man video game, Ted Landsmark, where you're eating, and then you just hit the end, and you got to go down or you got to go up, and this way you get to keep eating forward into this beautiful sort of land. I'm mixing 72 metaphors, and everybody's just going to let me do it. By the way, you're all just going to let me do it. Is that fair? Is that what this does?
I think that's part of what it does. I think that what it really does is to create a place at the upper end of Newbury Street, a sense of destination It has always been that because of the very vibrant retail operations that have operated at that end of the street, and also the presence of the Boston Architectural College. But now, visually, one gets a sense that the end of Newbury Street is really much more of a plaza and a destination where one wants to linger.
Catherine, so much nodding.
So much nodding. Before, you said, you know, it was a chain link fence. It was, you know, there's a TJ Maxx down there. There was, it's a heavily trafficked pedestrian corridor, tons of bikes, tons of buses, but there wasn't ever really anywhere to be. It just kind of ended in this highway on ramp, this, you know, internationally famous retail corridor with that, you know, thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people visit every year. And it just sort of stopped. And so now there's a place to go, a place to be, just to be. And that in an area where there is so much car traffic, so much bus traffic, so much just rail traffic below, I think it'll be really nice for just the general public just to be able to just be.
I want to pull on that thread a little bit, a little more here from Abe Menzin, who's principal at Developer Samuels and Associates, which worked on this, talking about the traffic, that ramp that you were talking about. Let's hear this.
We were banging our heads against the wall for a while looking at this project from a transportation perspective, because there was a highway ramp at the end of Newbury Street, and people were hitting the gas, crossing Mass Ave. It was extremely dangerous. Unfortunately, there were a lot of accidents out there, some of them very serious and even fatal. We came up with moving the highway ramp further down away from the urban intersection of Newbury Street and Mass Ave.
So we're talking about this development in the sky over Mass Pike, and we're looking at it, Jeff Speck of Speck Dempsey. Good design here on lots of different fronts. What are the other, that's not really an ancillary benefit, that's a planned benefit. But what are some of the other benefits beyond, you know, the green space and the institutions or shopping opportunities that will be there?
So we'll start with the traffic and go to urban design. Smart to point out, that was the biggest challenge of that intersection. It was very dangerous because the street, the continuation of Newbury Street and the highway on-ramp were next to each other. It was a 60-foot gap between curbs, and you know that's a long crosswalk, and a lot of people were hurt there.
That's a really long way for somebody to have to cross through a street, you mean?
So folks who aren't familiar, in front of the Room and Board building there, it was, you know, the entry into the continuation of Newbury Street and the entry to the highway. People are going towards the highway. What do? They put it on the gas. So it was a very dangerous spot. And those who haven't been there recently should know that the ramp has now been moved down Newbury Street. So first you go onto Newbury Street, then you exit to the left to get onto the highway. So it's a much, much safer, tighter, slower speed intersection. From a more urban design perspective, what is great, and I enjoyed experiencing just a few days ago, is you go onto Newbury Street, even well down Newbury Street, you know, halfway to the garden, to the public garden, and the vista is now terminated. That's the urban design
term.
What
does that mean?
A terminated vista is a wonderful way to create orientation within a city. You look down Newbury Street, and now it isn't just, you know, the open prairie in the distance, but a powerful building, tall building.
So that's a good thing?
It's a great thing because—
That surprises me.
Well, because it is a landmark within the city. It gives you a sense of where you are. It orients you. It also helps to enclose Newbury Street spatially. And that's something that a lot of people don't really understand intuitively, is that we actually like to be enclosed. The evolutionary biologists tell us that all animals are seeking both prospect and refuge. And if you don't feel that your flanks are covered, you actually aren't comfortable in
a
space.
That.
So it turns it into an outdoor living room by giving it that third wall as you look down the street, both on the sides, and then there's this termination. Also, it's what we planners call an anchor, in the sense of anchors and paths, the way people get around the city. Newbury Street never had an anchor at the end. You know, Tower Records was off to one side. It was just air.
Okay. So, Ted Landsmark, I'll turn to you here. And gosh, there are a million different places I want to go. But one of the questions I know we need to ask, and again, we're here with Ted Landsmark of the Dukakis Center at Northeastern, Jeff Speck of Speck Dempsey, and Catherine Carlock of the Boston Globe. A thing like this, and heads up, Catherine, because I'm coming to you next on this one. A thing like this, how hard is it? Is it super hard to do this kind of thing?
It's extremely hard to pull off this kind of project because of the multiple agencies and stakeholders who are involved. You're talking about a railroad, you're talking about a highway, you're talking about the MBTA, you're talking about the city street planners, you're talking about a great many small retailers who are along that street. And you're talking about students and institutions, Berkeley and other institutions that are in that area. And all of those need to be coordinated around a central plan that is safe and enticing, really, for pedestrians, because it is an area of very intense pedestrian traffic.
So to underscore that, let's hear from Abe Menzin one more time of Samuels & Associates here.
It really is not for the faint of heart in terms of the time frames that are required to pursue any large project. But when you add into the mix the fact that you're building over 8 lanes of highway, 2 lanes of railroad, building new public access to the MBTA station, working with the highway department and the MBTA and the city, it's complicated.
It is very, very complicated. There is not just the agencies, but all of these active rail lines, the highway, the street, the bike lane, it all has to stay open while this construction is happening. On top of all of this, construction on what's called Parcel 12, construction on this project started in summer 2020. So really when the world was exploding from COVID, there was... When supply chains were incredibly disrupted, when everything was just turning topsy-turvy, this major, major project that involved so many different people from so many different and so many different safety elements too, like that, the time and effort that goes into engineering something like that is just enormous.
And when did the talking start, Catherine?
Several years before 2020. MassDOT had years prior divvied up what they call air rights parcels. So air rights basically meaning you can build on the air above the highway. And that's what, you know, creating this plaza in the sky, creating land that wasn't there before is what MassDOT has divvied up these parcels. And we've seen that in a couple of different places. Right across from Fenway Park, there's, you know, a new deck going over there. But this is the first major air rights project to happen, and with negotiating around all of these active transit uses.
Yeah, air rights are, you know, not just a technical or legal issue. They're also a very difficult physical construction issue. Interestingly, this is one project that was probably helped by COVID. I was talking to David Manfredi, who's the architect, and we can talk about their firm, Elkus Manfredi. He told me that in order to, they had no staging area. They had no place to lay stuff down. The plaza had to be prefabricated in massive planks and then trucked in. And then when the plaza was going in, they had to close the pike for 20-minute intervals. But they did it in the middle of the night, and they did it during COVID when the traffic was so light. And that's how they were able to pull it off.
Could have been much harder otherwise.
Once the plaza was built, then they had a staging area for the buildings. But it was an extremely intricate, delicate process.
Well, and one thing about this is there is land on both sides, on both the end of Newbury and Boylston, to like set the foundation down in. That's not something that all air rights parcels have.
And on top of that, the parcel runs over commuter rail tracks and a submerged subway line that runs underneath.
Good Lord.
Plus, it's adjacent to one of the most heavily used bus lines in the city that runs from Nubian Square into Cambridge.
The number
one.
So
it is an intense area to try to get work done in because of the amount of traffic that runs through there and the diversity of traffic.
All right. So in a minute, we're going to take a pause and we're going to shift gears. So before we do, I think my last question on this part of this, you know, thing that's built out in the air, right over the Mass Pike at the end of Back Bay is, worth it? Yes or no? You're a reporter, but can you answer? Do you want to answer the question, Catherine?
I may take a step back
on
that one.
So, Jeff, worth it? Yes or no?
Absolutely worth it. I don't know exactly who paid for what, and maybe, Catherine, you can help us with that. But but these sort of investments absolutely pay off in the long run. Even when cities make investments, they earn it back through increased taxation, through higher property values. Whenever you tear down a highway or build over a highway, it usually pays off.
Ted Landsmark.
Absolutely worth it. It helps to heal a gash that exists in the middle of a major transportation nexus within the city, and it brings two neighborhoods more closely together.
We're talking about highways in Boston, a current effort that's opening this summer to build over them on the Mass Pike and other places that could happen. And now, how we got here, why we're even at a place where it's necessary. Still with us, Jeff Speck, partner at Speck Dempsey, Ted Landsmark, director of the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy at Northeastern University, and Catherine Carlock, real estate reporter for the Boston Globe. We took a short pause in our conversation, and just before we did, Ted Landsmark said that this project at the Back Bay was worth it in part because it helped heal a gash. And that's where I want to pick up. A little more here from Abe Menzin, principal developer at Samuels & Associates, on some of the early vision for the project.
I think every great project starts with really important planning goals that should be established at the beginning of the project. For us, those were connecting neighborhoods together. They were fixing infrastructure that didn't work for today's, you know, approaches in terms of pedestrians, bicyclists, buses, train customers, creating a vibrant streetscape and creating public gathering spaces.
I want to stay, Jeff Speck, with Ted Landsmark's point about healing a gash and connecting neighborhoods, which Abe Menzin just underscored, and the comment you made very close to the beginning of our conversation about this was necessary to heal a wound. You know, just yesterday here on the show, I was talking about urban renewal with reporter Simon Rios, and he was comparing and contrasting our attitude toward it now in Boston with a conflict in Lawrence right now on urban renewal. We put highways right through neighborhoods in Boston. And this is having to make up for that.
So, I mean, that was, of course, something that happened nationally to almost every American city. Very few cities escaped. The highways cut right through the center. They were often typically plowed through the lower income neighborhoods, the neighborhoods of color. They really were created theoretically to make it easier for people to come in and out of the city. And the city leaders thought, wow, you know, we're going to be more successful now as cities because it's easier to drive in and out. Of course, what happened was that they made it super easy to drive out and not come back. They made it super easy to, and convenient to not live in the city and still have access to the things in the city that people wanted. And in city after city, you can do a very clear graph that investment in downtown highways is inversely proportional to downtown property values. They all tanked when this happened. In Rochester, New York, the head of public works summed it up really well. He said, we built an evacuation route. It worked. Everybody evacuated.
Oh. So Ted Landsmark, I want to turn to you now. And for listeners who may not know, I want to ask for the fullness of your gaze on this, right? Because you are sort of a legend in Boston in numbers of ways. Some people know you, you know, famously for a Pulitzer Prize-winning picture you were captured in busing, but you were walking across City Hall during that time to do your job, which has been situated in this space for a long time. Put this need to build in the air over highways, and the fact that we've got multiple neighborhoods, like Catherine Carlock just mentioned, thinking about this, in historical perspective in Boston. How did we get here from your perspective?
Well, highways were built to facilitate commerce and commuting, really, through the city. But they had the inevitable effect of dividing neighborhoods. And often that division took place around class and race. And even with this project, there was a division between the people who lived in the Back Bay and the people who lived in the Fenway. So part of what's happening here is a bridging, literally, of the economic and social and demographic differences that exist as between those people who live in the Back Bay and those people who have lived in the Fenway, and the commerce in those areas. And this is happening around the country. That is to say, there's a recognition of how highways have divided communities rather than bringing them together. And this particular project, I think, is going to help to bring people together, not only around class and race, but also around how people use transportation and how people feel comfortable in particular neighborhoods.
So, Catherine Carlock, in your reporting, do you know where, how much, when, if that was a piece of the conversation?
I think that was definitely a piece of the conversation when MassDOT was initially looking at how are we, like, let's divvy up these air rights. Let's say, hey, developers, you can have the rights to build above this space. You got to figure out the engineering, the cost, the construction, which is all enormously expensive and complicated. But re-knitting those divided neighborhoods, I think, has always been a civic goal from both the state down to the local level.
So, Jeff Speck, I'm going to come back to you in a second, but I want to ping-pong back to Ted Landsmark and tell you, I think you answered my question, but one of the things that was playing in the back of my head as I was looking up, you know, sort of what's going to lay out there and what is laying out there was so many complaints in the development in the Seaport, right, that it created new space, a new opportunity, and it was exclusive. You're saying this isn't. Is that right? This does not repeat those mistakes.
Well, I don't think it does repeat those mistakes, largely because you're connecting two neighborhoods with diverse populations in those neighborhoods. And the intent here is to bring people together rather than to isolate people. The intent is to bring together the students and long-term residents who've lived in the Fenway with the long-term residents and park lovers who've lived in the Back Bay around a major transportation nexus where a lot of people are going to go through in order to get into the Back Bay and into the Fenway. I think this is intended to really create a sense of community rather than dividing it.
Jeff Speck, pick it up there.
Well, there's just a lot of nice little urban design things happening. So what was before about a 10-foot sidewalk on the west side of Mass Ave is now about a 40-foot sidewalk. It includes a cycle track, right, a designated space for pedestrians that then turns the corner and goes down Boylston Street. And I think with Chris Dempsey, I may have been the first person ever to ride on that cycle track because they were removing the cones as I was passing by.
And you guys were sitting there with your bikes.
And we... We
figuratively
right
revving your engines,
yes,
to go, right?
It also, just in terms of procession through the downtown, creates a loop that was missing. I think people would get to the end of Newbury and they wouldn't really know what to do.
Yeah.
And now they're going to be drawn both across Mass Ave, but then back to Boylston. Like, it really turns a dead end into a U-turn from Newbury Street into Boylston. Interestingly, a lot of people used to dangerously cross Mass Ave there to get from the T to a bus stop that was on the west side of Mass Ave. And now there's going to be a new T head house on that side.
What's
so
a head
you can
house?
Stay a place to emerge from underground.
Got it.
So you'll be able to go through a continuation of the train station there, the Back Bay station, under the road, and then pop up in the plaza. And then, of course, the plaza has two levels.
And that's Heinz Convention Center station.
Yes,
you're talking
sorry,
about.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah, Heinz.
Go ahead.
The plaza is 28,000 square feet, so it's more than half an acre. It's on two levels. It has an upper level that looks out west at sunset. And it was interesting, you know, people gathered on that bridge to watch the sunset. David Manfredi told me that folks from both neighborhoods would come at sunset, despite the noxious fumes and the road noise, and look west from that bridge. Now they'll be able to do it from a much nicer location.
That I find incredibly moving. The idea that people from neighborhoods will come together to enjoy this gift of nature in a place that's built to welcome them and encourage them to do that. And in that note, Catherine Carlock, now what I want to do is I want to look at the other neighborhoods who are looking at this, right? And Fenway,
Chinatown, South End. There are a number of other, again, what's called air rights projects that have been in the works for a long time. The Fenway parcel, it's again parcel 7. Not to get too nitpicky about that, but
and no more P words.
No more of this. where a deck has been built. There's plans for a lab tower closer to Fenway Park. The Red Sox also have development rights for an air rights parcel back behind one of the parking garages on Lansdowne. Quick programming note that John Henry is the principal owner of the Red Sox and the Boston Globe.
Yeah.
I think interestingly, also in Chinatown, the city went out for a grant last year to look at an air rights parcel to create an urban park. So to connect a neighborhood, reconnect a neighborhood that had really felt the ravages of urban renewal and that wound and the gash that Jeff and Dr. Landsberg have talked about. But looking at how do we create a green space that isn't there right now while creating land that doesn't exist.
So Ted Landsmark, it is one thing to put a whole bunch of private and public dollars together when Lego is going to build a North American headquarters. It's another thing to muster the will for taxpayer dollars for the infrastructure it takes to build a park over a highway. Do we have the precedent and collective will for that, like the Chinatown dream?
I believe that when these projects are successful, they have the effect of encouraging people to want more. We have focused in our planning efforts on building highways to get people in and out of cities, but now we're focusing much more on putting amenities back into cities that draw people to the cities and incentivize people to stay. To linger, to be there at all hours of the day and night. And I think that the investment that we see in these pays off because it finally places people over highways.
So, Jeff Speck, with the amelioration of an escape route, which was the term that
evacuation.
You used, in mind, if other neighborhoods are going to do this, A, can they? Can they do what we did at Back Bay?
It depends.
And
it depends on the value of the land and the I think now we have leadership at the City of Boston and other surrounding cities that's very progressive and open to helping this sort of thing happen. But the economics are always quite tricky.
So money and will.
A key aspect of this development is that the plazas over the highway, the buildings actually sit on bedrock, right? So that made it more affordable. You look at things like the Star Market over the Mass Pike, and people really aren't doing that anymore.
That's over in Newton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're totally doable in places with extremely high real estate value, which, of course, downtown Boston has, particularly in the Back Bay.
So money, will, and literally the physical foundation.
Yeah.
So, Catherine, sort of what's the next conversation? Is there a sequence here? Does everybody move at once? Or does the city say, hey, one this one and then that one and then this one?
Jeff mentioned the economics of this and that they're terribly, terribly tricky right now. They're enormously expensive projects, enormously complicated projects. I mentioned before, one of the things about the CarGurus Lego Citizen M project is that there was actual what's called terra firma, so basically land on both sides that goes down into bedrock that allows the development team a place to put the foundation. In other air rights parcels that are just air, or the terra firma is an active green line or an active commuter rail line, that's much, much more complicated because where do you put all the stuff that you need to build? Where do you dig down into? How do you dig down when you need to keep green line, commuter rail, highway active and open? So parcel 12 is a success story from a sheer engineering perspective. But where other parcels go that don't have that terra firma, it's a much more complicated question.
Last word is to you, Ted Landsmark. What's the hope?
Well, the hope is that we will look at this as a continuing precedent, really, The Prudential Center was built in air rights. Other projects have been built in air rights. And it's a way of closing the gap that was created by many of the highways that went through town. And I think we're going to see a lot more of this kind of activity.
All right. Ted Landsmark is director of the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy at Northeastern. Jeff Speck is a partner at Speck Dempsey. And Catherine Carlock is real estate reporter for the Boston Globe. Thanks to all three of you for helping us sort this out.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.